Let your awesome presence be felt here in this place right now. Holy God, come into our midst, we pray. Come and touch our lives, we ask, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, please take your seat and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. You know, we are doing a series on the encounters. And the last time we spoke, we talked about two things, if you remember. Two things that hinder us from encountering God. Remember what it is? Number one? Hey? Thank you. Fear. All right? Loud and clear, yeah? Fear. All right? When we are afraid of the different things, we are afraid to even move forward to encounter God. Fear prevents us from moving forward. Fear is the opposite end of faith. And the second thing was favorites. That's right. You know, we sometimes have our favorites, our likes, our, certain things that we hold dear to us that perhaps God is saying, hey, good stuff, but, and this could be, you know, the things, material things, neutral things. It could even be relationships, friends, family, favorites that prevent us from encountering God. Today I want us to look at some responses that we need or that happens every time there is an encounter. One of the things that we want to do, you know, leading up to the end of the year, and you see we did this differently last week, was last week high praise, so we had, you know, Hub and Bowl. One of the things we want to do as well is to intersperse worship with the Word, right? Because we are talking about encounter, all right? And, worship is one of those things that draw us to the presence of God. So, leading up to the end of the year, we will constantly be doing this, you know, worship, word, and intersperse it, and ask the Lord to open our hearts so that we can encounter Him. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. ESV. Above Him stood the seraph. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. With two He flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. God is holy. I want us to think about that a little bit. You know, we started off, we didn't plan this, but we started off singing that hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? Who was and is to come. And here, we see again the picture of heaven. And in heaven, there is a constant declaration of the holiness of God, who God is. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. What does that mean? Whenever you see someone encounter the holiness of God, a few things happen. Well, one of it is they are struck dead. But because of God's grace, because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can come into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the temple or the meeting place And there was a huge curtain, about 4 inches thick. Can you imagine that? A 4-inch thick curtain. As big as that. Thick. Curtain. That prevents the priests from entering to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Now, the Holy of Holies is where the presence of God dwells. And there was this thick curtain. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he breathed his last, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, ripped. As if God, you know, came down, put his hand down and, you know, just rip it apart. Giving us, symbolizing the access that we have to the presence of God, to encounter this God who is holy through Jesus Christ. Church, today, right now, because of what Christ has done, we can have access to the presence of God. But encountering God, certain things happen. I want to draw from Isaiah. And he sees this throne room. He sees the angels. And then in verse 4, it tells us the foundation of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. There's this awesome picture, awesome presence of God. Everything was trembling. And I said, Isaiah said this, woe to me. Basically, it means I am finished, gone. Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Basically, Isaiah was saying this, I am finished because I have seen God. Why am I finished? Why am I done? Why am I, you know, condemned, so to speak? Because I'm unclean. That's what an encounter does to each one of us. Let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Here is the story of Jesus calling the disciples. Okay, we won't read the whole passage. But, here is Jesus, and these disciples were at the shore, they were cleaning, they were washing the nets, they have fished the whole night, caught nothing. And Jesus gets into the boat of Simon, and he uses it as a stage. Goes a little bit out, they're all standing at the shore, and he begins to teach. And after he had finished that, he said to Simon, he turned to Simon, verse 4, and he says, put out to deep and let down your nets for a catch. And verse 5, Simon said, Master, we toiled all night, we took nothing. In other words, they caught nothing the whole night. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And so when they'd done this, they caught such a large number of fish, the Bible says, that their boats couldn't fill. They even asked their friends, hey, bring your other boat so that we can drag the fish up. But this is what I want you to note in verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw it, he saw this miracle. He saw what God has done, Jesus had done. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, For I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. A realization of his sinful nature compared to who God is. That's what an encounter with God does to us. We realize who we are. We realize how sinful and wicked we are in relation to who God is. Now I'd like to ask us this question. Are we aware of our position as human beings? Are we aware of what Christ has done for us? You know, Paul throughout Scripture constantly says this, you know, it is by grace. I can do what I can do because of the grace of God. He recognized who he is, comparing to who God is, and says it's all because of the grace of God. Every time there is an encounter, that happens. Now, if someone says, you know what, I'm good, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm okay, I didn't rob, I didn't steal, I didn't murder, I didn't, you know, I try not to cheat anyone, try not to lie, I'm okay. Now you can almost be certain that this person has not encountered God. Because an encounter with God causes us to realize the sin that we have. What I'd like us to do right now is to just pause for a moment and let that word sink in. And ask ourselves this question: when was the last time you encountered God? Now, I'm not saying that we walk around saying, oh, I'm so miserable, I'm a worm, I'm a sinful man, you know, that kind of thing, and no hope anymore. Whoa, it's me. But you're going to see what happens next. But before God can take us to the point of success, encounter must cause us to come to that point to say, God, I'm finished. I really need you. Would you bow your heads right now and let that word sink in? And maybe we need to confess our sin before the Lord right now. Isaiah did that. He said, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. In other words, who I am, who I associate with, they are all unclean. It's not glorifying to God. And maybe today we need to look back into our lives and say, God, I need to spend time just in your presence and saying, God, I want to confess my sin. This is who I am. This is who I associate with. This is what I've been doing. And that's what an encounter does.
We fall down. We lay our wrath at the feet of Jesus.
When Simon Peter said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, Luke chapter 5, right? Jesus turned around and the first thing he said is, do not be afraid. Fear prevents us from encountering God. And it says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. From now on, you will catch men. Let's go back to Isaiah. I think it's so important for us to come to this point of confession. Woe is me. Come to that point to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I like us to sing that song again, or rather, I like the worship team to sing this song again. And I want to come to that point of asking the Lord for forgiveness right now. Okay? I don't know what we've gone through. Only you know, especially the secret things. Some of those things could be little things. You know, maybe, you know, you yell at your mom or your dad or something like that, and God is saying, hey, that's not right. And God is convicting your heart right now and saying, deal with those things. Perhaps fear is one of those things that's stopping us. And we need to take that step of faith. Say, God, forgive me. Maybe there's some of us, you know, you've heard the good news of what Jesus has done for us, but then you're afraid. What will my friend say if I go to church regularly? What will my friend say if, you know, or my relatives or whoever, you know? If I say I want to become a Christian, what happens? And then we are scared. But you know that God is speaking to you. And you need to say to God, God, I need you. Let's just bow our heads right now before we move on. And you say a prayer to God. Okay, let's have everybody, don't look around, don't even look at me. Just bow your heads down. Say, God, I need you. Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Encounter does a couple of things to us. Firstly, there's this realization and a confession of sin. And the second thing, when that happens, God comes. And he touches us. First John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. God is faithful. He's just to cleanse us, to forgive us from all unrighteousness. If my people, the Lord says, who are called by my name, would humble themselves, what is that? You realize the state that you're in. Humble, turn from your wicked ways. Turn to God. God says, I will restore. And that's what happened to Isaiah. there is a cleansing. This has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for, dealt with. And Jesus has done that on the cross. There is a consecration. Every encounter causes that to happen when we realize and we confess our sin. And after that, you see the Lord telling Isaiah, and I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I." There is a commissioning. I believe that encounters must cause us to grow, not only in faith, but God has called us to be salt and light of this world. Matthew chapter 5. To do good works, to do good deeds, so that people can see. Let's ask ourselves this question. What have we been doing in the last week? If your answer is same old, then the next question should be, how then did we encounter God? Because every encounter must cause us to respond in God-like manner. We're going to partake of the bread and the cup right now. The bread is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. The cup, well, over here in our church, we use wine. It's a symbol of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Reminding us that through the cross, we can have access into the holy place. We can have access in encountering God. Face to face. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. And the thing is this, when we fellowship and we partake of the bread, we are saying, God, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for the encounters that I can have with you. And then from there, move on. As we partake of the bread right now, would you, are you able to say, yes, God, thank you for what you have done? I want to receive it in Jesus' name. Bow your heads right now. Father, we will give you thanks for Jesus, the Lamb of God, for coming, teaching, showing God who you are, for dying on the cross so that we can have access to your holy presence. And for this bread, a symbol of your body that was broken for us. That is through your body that we are healed, that we are restored. We give you thanks. For the cup, symbol of your blood that was shed for us. Your blood that washes us, the Bible says, white as snow. We want to give you thanks. Help us, O God, to partake this in a manner that is worthy. A manner that is glorifying unto you. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. shall I send? The Lord said, whom shall I send? Who will go? And Isaiah's response was, here am I. Here am I, send me. Encounters with God prepares the heart to go. Matthew chapter 5. Just take your seat right now. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I mentioned this a little earlier. Verse 13 onwards. Matthew 5:13. Jesus tells his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, or in some versions it says, if salt has lost its saltiness, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Here Jesus brings two illustrations, two objects. The first is salt. And he says, you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. How many of you know that life will be quite boring without salt? Huh? Salt does many things to us. One, and all of us know this, we all live in Penang, right? We live in Malaysia, we know. Salt gives taste. That's the first thing that salt does. It gives taste. Try eating everything without salt. Stress, huh? It gives taste. Something happens when you put salt in your food. Agreed? If your mom's cooking and you walk into the kitchen and say, come, let me test. The first thing that will happen is this, whether it's salty enough or not. That's the question. Kau kiamo. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. The thing about salt is this, you know, you notice it most when it's not there. Think about your food, right? If it tastes good and all that, you won't go, the salt content is perfect. You never do that, right? But if it doesn't taste quite right, you will go, hey, not enough salt. When it's not there, you will, you know, feel it the most. And here's the thing about salt that gives taste. And it says that, Jesus says that you, me, we are the salt of the earth, you know. In other words, when we are not around, the people that are around us will go, hey, something is wrong. If your friends don't miss you, or miss you for the wrong reasons, hey, could it be it's because we are not living out what Christ has asked us to be, who Christ has asked us to be, and how He has asked us to live out our lives. The second thing that salt does is salt is used for cleansing. It's used for cleaning. You go to the hospital, you get a cut, you get a, you know, bruise or whatever it is, they wash you with salt water. Saline. It is used for cleaning and cleansing. Your presence must have a cleansing effect in the community. If you are scratching your head and you're wondering, God or not, huh? Something must change because you are the salt of the earth, right? Something must change when you walk into a community. All the colorful language suddenly stop. Why? Because your presence is there. Does it happen? If it doesn't happen, it means you're not salty enough. I learned this as a young Christian in school. And God taught me, it made me realize this, that, hey, how come, you know, it's so difficult to hang out with different, with people? Because when you go there, they all go away. Why? Because they want to continue their talk about certain things. So when you enter the presence, all the nasty talk all leave. And for a long time, I'm like, hey, they don't, what's wrong with me, you know? They don't want to be my friend or what? They all run away. And then God showed me this passage and says, hey, this is what is supposed to happen. It's what's supposed to happen. You need to have a cleansing effect. Of course, after some time, they don't run away. After some time, they hang around and they, you know, say nicer things. It has a cleansing effect. The third thing that salt does is salt acts as a preservative. You know, in those days, they don't have refrigerator, no electricity. And so if you go hunting, and this is also, you know, it still happens in the jungles of, you know, you go for mission trips, Sabah, Sarawak. It still happens, you know. You go hunt, you get a wild boar or something like that. What do? Yes. Roast it immediately almost. And then after that, preserve it. If you don't roast it, you need to soak it in salt so that the meat is preserved. Salt does that. And when Jesus said that we are the salt, we are to preserve certain things from getting rotten. We are to preserve meat from getting rotten. You leave meat lying outside without salt, it will rot. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, what has God called us to preserve since we are called to be salt? What are the good things that God has called us to preserve? Three. Got one more. The fourth thing that salt does in those days, it acts as a catalyst. Okay? It helps fire burn. One of the things that they did in those days was, you know, as they travel, a lot of times you don't get firewood. Right? And especially when you're traveling in the desert, where to find firewood? Okay. So what did they do? They actually make cakes, from the poop of camels. Okay. So they were going to collect camel poop. And they'll go dry it. But before they do that, they'll sprinkle salt over it. Because it helps. Salt helps. It works as a catalyst for the fire to burn. That's the other thing that salt does. And so salt was very, very important in those days. Very important. Without salt, fire would not burn as well. And then it affects everything else. You know, you can't cook properly and all that stuff. You are the salt of the earth. Taste. You provide that. Cleansing. Healing. We are called to preserve. We are called to be catalysts so that a fire can burn. And he goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, then you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, in those days, they don't have highways. So how do they travel from one place to another? Look at the light. Look at the city that's on a hill. They just follow the light. In other words, people who are wandering, who are traveling, who are moving, need to see you and I for direction. We provide that. Nobody lights a light and put it under a table, right? You put it on a lampstand, you bring it out so that the room is lit. Why do you need to light up a room? So that people can see. So that we provide direction. If you walk into a dark room, you just grope around. Light gives direction. That's us. Encounters with God must end or must move on from merely sitting down and saying, God, you are so good. Come feel me, touch me. That's not it, you know. In fact, that's not what God wants us. That's not what the Lord desires for our life. He desires us to be out there. Oh yeah, He wants to touch us, yes. But that's not the end. Because He said, go and make disciples. Go and reach out. Go and touch lives. And Jesus here says, let your light shine so that they may see what your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What we do draws people, gives direction for people to encounter God. Our encounter with God must cause others to encounter Him. If it doesn't, then something is wrong. And so my challenge for us today is this. This is what encounters does to us. Firstly, it begins with, God, I recognize who you are. I recognize who I am in relation to who you are. And therefore, I must come from that place of sin, to confess, to move forward so that I can be cleansed. And then God gives us a commission. Who will I send? We need to say, yeah, me. Do what? Be the salt and be the light. To be that testimony. A lot of times we think of encounters of it's just, you know, God, touch me. God, I want you to deal with me. God, I want to just sit quietly. You know, you minister to me. I just want to sit at the corner and just soak myself in your word. Oh, that's great. And that's the beginning point. Okay. But my challenge to us is to go beyond that. Say, God, take us out there. You know, a lot of times we are scared to go out because we don't know what's out there. It's a jungle out there, right? We are scared because we don't know how our friends will take it. We are scared because we don't know what to say. Every time we encounter people, very scary. We'd rather, you know, sit in the cave and pray. We'd rather sit at home and just read the Bible. Yeah, God, speak to me, right? It's from there that we move out. And then after that, we come back, go to that quiet place again, and then move out. Then go to that quiet place, and then move out. This is what encounter must do to us. Must. And so my challenge for us today is this. As we end in a little bit, how salty are you? How salty am I? How bright are you? And that's what we are called to. If you are not shining bright enough, if you are not salty enough, if people don't taste, there is no difference when you walk into the room. We need to come back and say, God, I've sinned. Seriously. Lord, there's something that I'm not doing right. I'm not living my life right. Teach me. And God will come. He will touch our lives because He has promised to do that. And then, for sure, He will say this. Who's going to do this? Who is going to do this? Who can I send? And then He leaves it. And He will respond when we say, yes, here am I, send me. You know, you heard this story. I mean, I read this so many times. You know, Jesus comes and He picks 12 disciples. And that was the only plan. No other plan. People. That's a mystery that I guess we will never fully understand. Why does God entrust people? But it's because of His love for us. It's because He wants us to, you know, partner with Him. God can do everything just like that. You know, if he needs to tell someone about the good news, I always imagine this, you know, God taking out His finger right on the sky. You know, right? This person's name out. Edward, you better, you know, repent right now. You walk out of the house, you see your name in the sky, you know, God's finger there writing. Immediately you repent. But God doesn't do that. He picks you and me and says, I want to partner with you. Go talk to this rascal, Edward. You know, he needs to repent. Salt and light. Here's the question as we close. Are we ready for that? Do our encounters with God cause us to respond that way? One last song. As we worship and say, yes, God, I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to respond in a manner that is worthy, that's glorifying, so that people can see my good deeds. Not because I'm good, but because God is good. So that people can see the good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We are surrendered to You, O God, because You are worthy. We thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are great. And that Your love extends towards each and every one of us. Lord, we are sinful beings, but we thank you for your grace that restores, redeems us. And Father, we thank you that you not only call us back, but you call us out. And Father, we pray, Lord, for daily encounters with you so that we can move out with confidence to be the salt and the light, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world. Teach us, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you afresh. We give you thanks, Father God, in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Amen.